Chapter 33. Ladies and tradeswomen, and babies who have never seen a cow. Well, yes, perhaps, particularly centurions. Who don't know anything of us, and where it comes from, or think how we two drove miles across the moor tonight in the rain, that it might reach them in time. We did not drive entirely on account of these precious Londoners. We drove a little on our own on account of that anxious matter which you will, I am sure, set at rest, dear Tess. Now, permit me to put it in this way. You belong to me already, you know, your heart, I mean. Does it not? You know as well as one. Oh yes, yes. Then, if your heart does, why not your hand? My only reason was on account of you on account of a question. I have something to tell you, but suppose it to be entirely for my happiness, and my worldly convenience also? Oh yes, if it is for your happiness and worldly convenience. But my life, before I came here I want, well, it is for my convenience as well as my happiness. If I have a very large farm, either English or colonial, you will be invaluable as a wife to me. Better than a woman out of the largest mansion in the country. So please, please, dear Tessie, disabuse your mind of the feeling that you will stand in my way. But my history. I want you to know it, you must let me tell you you will not like me so well. Tell it if you wish to, dearest. This precious history then. Yes, I was born at so-and-so, Anno Domini, I was born at Marlott, she said. Catching at his words as a help, lightly as they were spoken. And I grew up there. And I was in the 6th standard when I left school, and they said I had great aptness, and should make a good teacher, so it was settled that I should be one. But there was trouble in my family. Father was not very industrious, and he drank a little. Yes, yes. Poor child. Nothing new. He pressed her more closely to his side. And then there is something very unusual about it about me. I was, Tessa's breath quickened. Yes, dearest. Never mind. I am not a Derbyfield, but a Durbervilla descendant of the same family as those that owned the old house we passed. And we are all gone to nothing. A Durberville. Indeed. And is that all the trouble, dear Tess? Yes, she answered faintly. Well, why should I love you less after knowing this? I was told by the dairyman that you hated old families. He laughed. Well, it is true, in one sense. I do hate the aristocratic principle of blood before everything, and do think that as reasoners the only pedigrees we ought to respect are those spiritual ones of the wise and virtuous, without regard to corporal paternity. But I am extremely interested in this news. You can have no idea how interested I am. Are you not interested yourself in being one of that well-known line? No. I have thought it sad, especially since coming here, and knowing that many of the hills and fields I see once belonged to my father's people. But other hills and fields belong to Reddy's people, and perhaps others to Marion's, so that I don't value it particularly. Yes, it is surprising how many of the present tillers of the soil were once owners of it, and I sometimes wonder that a certain school of politicians don't make capital of the circumstance. But they don't seem to know it. I wonder that I did not see the resemblance of your name of Durberville, and trace the manifest corruption. And this was the carking secret. As he had not told. At the last moment her courage had failed her, she feared his blame for not telling him sooner, and her instinct of self-preservation was stronger than her candor. Of course, continued the unwitting Claire, I should have been glad to know you to be descended exclusively from the long-suffering, dumb, unrecorded rank and file of the English nation, and not from the self-seeking few who made themselves powerful at the expense of the rest. But I am corrupted away from that by my affection for you, Tess, he laughed as he spoke, and made selfish likewise. For your own sake I rejoice in your descent. Society is hopelessly snobbish, and this fact of your extraction may make an appreciable difference to its acceptance of you as my wife, after I have made you the well-read woman that I mean to make you. My mother too, poor soul, will think so much better of you on account of it. Tess, you must spell your name correctly d'Urberville from this very day. I like the other way rather best. But you must, dearest. Good heavens, why dozens of mushroom millionaires would jump at such a possession. By the by, there's one of that kidney who has taken the name. Where have I heard of him? Up in the neighborhood of the Chase, I think. Why, he is the very man who had that rumpus with my father I told you of. What an odd coincidence. Angel, I think I would rather not take the name. It is unlucky, perhaps. She was agitated. Now then, Mistress Teresa d'Urberville, I have you. Take my name, and so you will escape yours. The secret is out, so why should you any longer refuse me? If it is sure to make you happy to have me as your wife, and you feel that you do wish to marry me, very, very much, I do, dearest, of course. I mean, that it is only your wanting me very much, and being hardly able to keep alive without me, whatever my offenses, that would make me feel I ought to say I will. You will, you do say it, I know. You will be mine forever and ever. He clasped her close and kissed her. Yes. As he had no sooner said it than she burst into a dry heart sobbing, so violent that it seemed to rend her. Tess was not a hysterical girl by any means, and he was surprised. Why do you cry, dearest? I can't tell quite. I am so glad to think of being yours, and making you happy. But this does not seem very much like gladness, my Tessie. I mean I cry, because I have broken down in my vow. I said I would die unmarried. But, if you love me, you would like me to be your husband? Yes, yes, yes. But oh, I sometimes wish I had never been born. Now, my dear Tess, if I did not know that you are very much excited, and very inexperienced, I should say that remark was not very complimentary. How came you to wish that, if you care for me? Do you care for me? I wish you would prove it in some way. How can I prove it more than I have done? She cried, in a distraction of tenderness. Will this prove it more? She clasped his neck, and for the first time Claire learned what an impassioned woman's kisses were like upon the lips of one whom she loved with all her heart and soul, as Tess loved him. There now, do you believe? She asked, flushed, and wiping her eyes. Yes. I never really doubted, never, never. So they drove on through the gloom, forming one bundle inside the sailcloth, the horse going as he would, and the rain driving against them. As he had consented, she might as well have agreed at first. The appetite for joy which pervades all creation, that tremendous force which sways humanity to its purpose, as the tide sways the helpless weed, was not to be controlled by vague lucubrations over the social rubric. I must write to my mother, she said. You don't mind my doing that? Of course not, dear child. You are a child to me, Tess, not to know how very proper it is to write to your mother at such a time, and how wrong it would be in me to object. Where does she live? At the same place, Marlott. On the further side of Blackmoor Vale. Ah, then I have seen you before this summer, yes. At that dance on the green. But you would not dance with me. Oh, I hope that is of no ill omen for us now. XXXI, Tess wrote a most touching and urgent letter to her mother the very next day, and by the end of the week a response to her communication arrived in Joan Durbeyfield's wandering last century hand. Dear Tess, J. write these few lines hoping they will find you well, as they leave me at present, thank God for it. Dear Tess, we are all glad to hear that you are going really to be married soon. But with respect to your question, Tess, J. say between ourselves, quite private but very strong, that on no account do you say a word of your bygone trouble to him. J. did not tell everything to your father, he being so proud on account of his respectability, which, perhaps, your intended is the same. Many a woman, some of the highest in the land, have had a trouble in their time. And why should you trumpet yours, when others don't trumpet theirs? No girl would be such a fool, especially as it is so long ago, and not your fault at all. Jay shall answer the same, if you ask me 50 times. Besides, you must bear in mind that, knowing it to be your childish nature, to tell all that's in your heart so simple. Jay made you promise me never, to let it out by word or deed, having your welfare in my mind. And you most solemnly did promise it going from this door. Jay have not named either that question, or your coming marriage to your father, as he would blab it everywhere, poor simple man. Dear Tess, keep up your spirits, and we mean to send you a hogshead of cider for your wedding, knowing there is not much in your parts, and thin sour stuff what there is. So no more at present, and with kind love to your young man. From your affect. Mother. Jay Derbyfield, oh mother, mother, murmured Tess. She was recognizing how light was the touch of events the most oppressive upon Mrs. Derbyfield's elastic spirit. Her mother did not see life as Tess saw it. That haunting episode of bygone days was to her mother but a passing accident. But perhaps her mother was right as to the course to be followed, whatever she might be in her reasons. Silence seemed, on the face of it, best for her adored one's happiness. Silence it should be. Thus steadied by a command from the only person in the world who had any shadow of right to control her action, Tess grew calmer. The responsibility was shifted, and her heart was lighter than it had been for weeks. The days of declining autumn which followed her ascent, beginning with the month of October, formed a season through which she lived in spiritual altitudes more nearly approaching ecstasy than any other period of her life. There was hardly a touch of earth in her love for Claire. To her sublime trustfulness he was all that goodness could be, knew all that a guide, philosopher, and friend should know. She thought every line in the contour of his person the perfection of masculine beauty, his soul the soul of a saint, his intellect that of a seer. The wisdom of her love for him, as Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.